good chatty show today. Lots and lots of, we have six interviews in the show today. But we got some music in between them all. In the meantime, in studio now, I have John Keller, and he's going to have a chat about the Santry Community Garden. Good morning, John. How are you?
Well, good morning, all, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to share this community garden with you. It's a valuable community resource, and I'm sure your listeners will be interested.
I'm sure, and it's a sad, and it's great, but it's sad in the sense I passed by there yesterday on the way up to IKEA, and I was just talking to the wife about it and saying how wonderful it was, and we did an outside broadcast there, I think it was about 3-4 years ago, and it's there only since 2010, the actual walled garden, is that right?
That's right. Well, the walled garden itself is there a couple of hundred years now at this stage, and it fell into disrepair, and you may remember there was a Save Santry Woods campaign, and as a result the woods were saved, and people who were involved in that noticed that the garden had become derelict and thought it might be a good idea to get it back up again, and which they did, formed a committee, and with the help of Fingal County Council, got the walls rebuilt, the paths reinstalled, and the structure of it follows a map which we have from 1867 of the layout of the garden and the plants that were there, and more or less following the structure as originally used to feed the big house in Santry Domain.
Am I right in saying as well, because of how it has evolved over the past 7 years, the park itself has gone through sort of a reconfiguration, and it's been refreshed, and everything has been done to it. It's like a brand new park, as
that's
a matter
right,
of fact.
Yeah, there's new children's playgrounds. There's an exercise area. It's well maintained. Fingal County Council do a good job in maintaining it. It's used by an increasing number of people. It's at the back of the athletics stadium there, and just a week or two ago, there was a big cross country event for school kids, so that brought in hundreds of children, and the garden pond there, and there's lots of new apartments around, so there's lots of people making use of the park.
Okay,
but you still get people up who says, I've been coming up for years and I never knew this garden existed.
Yes, indeed. And I mean, even the park itself, if people were, say, leaving from here, going down the Oscar Traynor Road, when you get to the end of the Oscar Traynor, you go left into Santry, right to the airport, but straight ahead is the park, and at the back of the park is the wall garden.
That's right.
But it's a great facility, but it's what I'd call a hidden treasure, because not a lot of people know about it.
Yeah.
Even the park itself, apart from the wall garden.
Yeah, because it is at the back, hidden. In a corner, surrounded by trees, surrounded by 10-12 foot wall, as it was originally designed, and it's open 4 days a week, Wednesdays and Fridays 2 till 4, Saturday and Sunday 11 until 1. But if you happen to be in the park outside at those times, you may not have noticed. But inside is a hidden gem.
When you, if I was to go down there now and drive in the gate, which there is parking in there as well, is there signs telling you that the garden's at the back?
There are a couple of signs, but again, room for improvement. So that's one of the things we're looking at to try and improve the directional signs to show what we're about, you know.
Okay, so you're talking about the times when it's open. Is there hope in the future that it'll be open more often? Why is it not open more often, maybe?
Well, I suppose it depends on, it's volunteers, so it depends on the number of people who are available to open it. During the summer, in the good weather, we did extend the number of evenings on which it was open, and that worked for a while, but then as the evenings closed in again, we reverted back to the four days per week. But again, it's related to the people who are available to open it. So that's why we want to make it more, make more and more people aware of it as a resource.
And I suppose, as well as getting people to know about the garden, are you looking for volunteers as well?
Yeah, it's of interest to a wide variety of people. People who, like yourself, casually called up yesterday just to have a look, because what we have inside is really interesting. And then we'll say more committed volunteers, because it is run entirely by volunteers who are prepared to you know, give an hour or two a week or as little as often as they want, because nobody is under pressure to, nobody's going to be marking your cards as to whether you're absent or not, you know. So whatever time you have available to participate, the work, you share the work. So it's different from an allotment. Allotment, it's your responsibility, that little piece of ground. But here, people work together.
Okay.
And it's not complicated. There's people there who know what they're at and are only too willing to show any new people who come up what it's all about, how to do. It's a bit of digging, a bit of weeding. If you can wheel a wheelbarrow and cut, dig a few vegetables and pick a few fruit.
So are there still spaces available for people to go down there for the autumn?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, there are so many activities going on down there. And this is what, it's not expensive to run, but what we do need are people power.
Okay.
Because there are so many things happening down there. And when you think, within the walled garden, it's 4 acres of a walled garden divided into 3 sections. The first section is where we grow our main vegetables, but we have lots of fruit trees around the wall. We've got a polytunnel. We've got, and within the polytunnel, we start, you know, sowing seeds. We actually have grapes growing inside the polytunnel. We have a wildlife area. In the next section, we have a heritage orchard and lots of other fruit trees. We're trying to recreate the old varieties of Irish apple that are no longer grown. Somebody has produced a list of 68 of them, and I think we're up to well over 60.
Wow.
We do our own grafting, and you know, any new varieties are that we're still missing, we'll get a cutting and do the grafting and grow it on and plant it out. And we have an ornamental section where there's a wide range of flowers grown. There's a pond and various, you know, flowers and shrubs and whatever. And we also have an apiary where we have a few beehives. And the beehives are important to us because of the number of fruit trees we have. Bees are important pollinators, and we can see a huge increase in the volume of the produce grown in our orchard because of, we think, the bees. So there's a huge variety of activity going on, and every little help.
Okay, before we talk any more, John, give us details again of its opening time, and also how people can get in touch if they want to take part in this.
Yeah, the opening times again, Wednesday and Friday. Core times are from 2 to 4 p.m. But if the weather's good, the chances are people will be up before that, and they might be there afterwards, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, wherever, 6, as the evenings get longer. And then on Saturday and Sunday, it's 11 until 1 o'clock. Again, core times. And to get to the garden, the main entrance is at the corner of Santry Avenue and the Swords Road, opposite Heaton's, and, and there's a tyre place there on, on the corner. Main entrance is in there. There's a car park there, or if you're walking or on the bike. You'll follow the Santry Avenue side of things. You pass the children's playground. There's an exercise area. Continue on. You pass the, there's a mound of earth there with trees growing on top and steps going up to it where the original house was. And if you look to the east, to the right, you'll see the original avenue of Californian redwood trees that lined the avenue down to the main road. So you pass that and you'll see the wall in front of you, and the main gate is in front of you there.
Is it self-sufficient to the extent that, like, you're totally independent, more or less, now?
Yeah. We have, it survives on the basis of membership subscriptions.
Okay.
And we do get support from Fingal County Council and a couple of other commercial companies. We also have a tree sponsorship scheme, because we have so many fruit trees and that. We've developed a scheme where for €50 you can have a few words written on a label and the name of the fruit tree beside it, and post it on a post beside the tree. And families have found this very useful for commemorating special members of their family. And you do find during summer that families will come up and they'll visit their tree and pay respect to whoever's commemorated. The membership is, if you want to participate, it is a question of becoming a member. You know, visitors are welcome, and that's no problem. They ramble in and out. But to participate at the enormous expense of €20 per annum or €10 per annum if concession, you know, unwaged student or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot you can get for €10 these days, you know. So there's enough. We've over about 100 members, about 30 of whom are fairly active and regular participants. Mm-hmm. It's not that the cost of running the garden is very expensive, you know, once you buy seeds and plants and things like that. Mm-hmm. But the biggest problem is maintenance, digging, planting.
It's funny, like you're saying, like people, 100 people and all that involved, but I mean, it's a huge acreage, isn't it? So
that's it, 4.5 acres. There are lots of community gardens around the city.
Yes.
But I think this must be one of the biggest ones.
Okay.
You know, you'll get community gardens like in Ballymun, they have Muck and Magic in North Strand, they have Bud Island. They even have a community garden in the walled garden in St. Anne's Park. But the area that we have to look after.
It must be one of the biggest in the in Dublin.
I would think so. Yes, like, I mean, it's
so it's purely people that you need,
people,
and you would be open more.
We've heard a lot in recent times about the benefits of participating in the you know, the with nature and exercise, the mental, physical well-being, the benefits that are to be gained from that. And this is ideal, because if you come up to the garden, you sow something, you plant something, you're going to be interested.
Well, the first thing I would say, as I said, driving by yesterday, John, my first reaction to listening to what you're looking for and what's involved, I mean, there's a whole new community up there. It's massive, and they're all apartments.
That's
and
it's
a mystery why. I know people are busy these days and probably to pay for the apartments, they're living in, the mortgages and that, but still and all, this is ideal for the likes of these people living in apartments, isn't it?
That's it. It's ideal for a wide variety of people. As you say, people living in apartments. And a lot of those people would have experience growing things from when they were growing up, or their parents or grandparents, and they're in an apartment, but they do have a balcony, they do have a windowsill, they could still be interested. But here is a way of getting deeply involved. There are other people who have big gardens and who don't know anything about growing things.
That's what I was going to ask you, because a lot of people maybe listening might say, well, I mean, I don't know much about gardening, but it's for the experienced gardener, but it's also for the novice gardener.
Oh, no, absolutely nothing. You do not have to know anything about gardening to become involved, because there are people there who are very welcoming, and they're only too willing to show people what to do. And you work in groups. So it's not that you're working on your own. Or you do eventually, like, and you become, you know.
And either people, or, I suppose.
Either or. Yeah, and people prepared to do anything. Some people get to take an interest in particular areas of the garden. We'll say, like, the herb garden, or the flower ornamental garden, or the polytunnel, you know, and they're interested in sowing seeds, and which is a critical activity for the garden to at the right time to be sowing seeds and getting new plants propagated, and the orchard, fruit trees. But harvesting is another big activity.
And how are you fixed for tools? Would people have to bring tools and that?
No, we have our own tools, so we're quite well looked after in that. But people do have to bring a pair of boots, strong boots, a pair of gloves, and most important, a mug.
Because for the tea.
Well, yes, the tea is and if we have a couple of cups of tea now, you know,
revitalizes.
There's a bit of crack. There's a bit of crack involved.
I think that's
not all work. It's work and play.
Well, I think there's loads and loads of advantages. Just listen to you there, John, because I mean, you're talking about the mental well-being of people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, as I said earlier on, in apartments, but even apartments, houses, whatever, a lot of people sort of a bit isolated as well, so this is a great way of getting something to do, and integration with people and socializing,
and like-minded people,
and a good interest in everything,
very relaxed atmosphere, very helpful and cooperative, and not only that, but in sharing the work, they share the produce.
Okay, how did you get involved in it, by the way?
Through personal contact, I knew somebody on the committee, and through a friend of my wife and Olive on the committee, and it was through her.
Spread through there.
So it was word of mouth, and I find word of
that's
people talking
today,
about.
Actually,
that's why we're here to hopefully inspire some of the people to come up, let them know about it. mm-hmm. visit it, have a look first, and if you think you might be interested, mm-hmm. well, call up to us. We'll sign you up, and you can join online if you're able to use the internet. But simply come up to us, and we'll sort you out.
So there must be, as I said, with the vast acreage there must be a lot of it that hasn't been cultivated yet. So that's mainly what you want the people for.
Well, it looks fairly well now. It is fairly well cultivated. All the sections are being used. The ornamental is lots of flowers and shrubs, and trees, and the orchard is fairly well packed with fruit trees, and the vegetable section is growing the full range of vegetables. But we can do more.
Okay.
We can do more with the people and make it easier on the people who do it. But it's a question of involving as many people because of the benefits involving as many people as possible, because it's there for as a community.
I don't know who someone famous said, "By the people, for the people." But in this case, with the garden, that's what it's all about: the people, for the people. And I mean, it sounds absolutely terrific. And I hope that a lot of people go down there and think. I'll certainly spend more time down there myself. But just to emphasise the fact, well, lots and lots of ways if you fancy. You know, planting vegetables, flowers, and no matter what aspect of gardening you want to get involved in, it's all down there in the water.
It's all down there, and it's not just a question of all down there. It is literally all down there. There are exotic species of fruit grown down there that you couldn't imagine would grow anywhere in Dublin. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we have our almond trees are in full bloom. Our apricot tree is in full bloom. We were just looking at a peach tree there last week. And covered in bees. We have figs there at the moment. We grow everything from, you know, the ordinary cabbage and spuds to pumpkins, and we have a pumpkin carving day later on in autumn for children to come up and to around Halloween, you know, real live pumpkins that are grown in the garden, and some of them quite large. We have a full range of fruit, from apples and pears and cherries and plums and greengages and
you were talking there as well. You're involved in the beekeeping, which is becoming very popular with people as well. It's be seen from
There are three of us involved in helping out and getting the apiary going there. I think we have about 8 or 9 hives there at the moment. Now, whether they'll all survive during the winter but they do have to be managed. But as I say, it is an important activity. Because of the extent to which we grow fruit there, so the bees are very important, and we're conscious of growing varieties of flowers in our ornamental garden that the bees are particularly attracted to.
Okay. Well, listen, time is running on. So, if you give us, do people just drop down if they're interested, or do you have a phone number, or
no? Just people just drop. Like, I mean, as I said, you can look us up online at thesanctuarycommunitygarden.ie.
That's the best way, yeah.
That's one way, but I think the best way is to see for yourself and call up and have a look at the place on Wednesday and Friday between 2 and 4, and Saturday and Sunday between 11 and 1.
And I think, if you don't mind me saying, I think that people will be amazed if they go in the front gate Coolock Lane here, as they call it. If you go in the front entrance there and take a walk up to the park, they're going to be amazed by the park force and then blown away by the garden at the back.
Garden,
it's absolutely terrific
to see it. And the garden speaks for itself.
Do you have? So I know we were there with Near FM for an open day. Do you have one of those every year?
We have a open days. Barbecue days, like, where we make a particular effort to invite people in just to see the range of produce that we have there, and you know, have a bit of crack again over the barbecue and that.
I suppose,
and
people,
we have produce, so, like, I mean, people take stuff home from the garden produce and make it into jams and chutneys, and we'd have those for sale. So we would have
just vegetables
like
for
that.
The Sunday dinner.
We'd have things like that.
For
sale.
Indeed, yeah.
And then surplus produce. Then, so you never know what you might find when you call up.
And I suppose emphasis today, or emphasis as well, of course, that it's a great family expedition as well, for people to go out and spend the day with their kids
and get for children to go out and to see things growing. And to say, we'll see strawberries now will be coming on in a couple of months' time. Mm-hmm. It's like to see strawberries growing. And I've often found it strange how children these days have a reluctance.
Any blackberries there?
Yeah, no. Oh, no, no. Well, no, there yet. There are different types of raspberry, raspberries and gooseberries and whatever, but we'll say children now, the reluctance they have to reach out and to pick a strawberry and to put it in their mouth and eat it, it takes a bit of encouragement to get them to do it because they're not familiar with seeing stuff growing in front of them and that you can eat.
Okay, but of course, so people, there's a lot of too much emphasis stressed. I suppose I shouldn't say this, but in hygiene as well. Like, I mean, we used to go out and pick. The reason I asked, blackberries out in the wilds of what used to be the wilds of Enniskerry and that in many, many, many years ago, and just pick them off the tree and eat them. We're still here.
Yeah, so you're the still same thing applies. Look at the benefits of eating healthy food, knowing where it was grown. On organic principles, we don't use any chemicals like that. Yes, we make our own compost, and so to pick fresh vegetables and to go home and make something with it.
I have to say, this booklet that you have, like, it's like a calendar. It's terrific calendar, as well. Yes, oh, it is a calendar. Yeah, yeah, it's terrific. Yeah, where can people get this? It's terrific.
Again, call up to us. We, if you're lucky, we still may have a few left. They were very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And
it gives you all the information.
It gives, on a month-to-month, it gives a different picture and tips that what you can do each month. So the whole emphasis is on, we'll say, people who come up, they see how simple it is to grow food, go home, and to grow it at home.
Okay, John, listen, it's been a great pleasure having you in. As I said, I'll be up there more often now. It was a good coincidence that I went in there yesterday. It's terrific. And I'm sure it's a great asset for the hotel there beside as well during the summer for people to go in into the garden.
Oh, yeah, visitors, from all sorts of places come. And amazed at what is actually growing.
Yeah, and I think as well, as you were saying there, the more people you get, the more access the garden will be for people. It'll open more often and for a longer period, so it's just a matter of getting more people in there.
More people.
And we'll allow for
and let them benefits. Gain the benefit from such a valuable resource.
Okay, we go to break, and that's what John Keller talking about Santry Community Garden. I'll give you more information on that later on.